day is found in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the 9th chapter. We were dwelling upon the conversion of the Apostle Paul. We left off speaking to you last week how that suddenly, when he was getting near to Damascus, a light shined round about him, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice speaking unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And this light was much brighter than the light of the sun, much brighter than the midday sun, the Bible says. He says this himself when he was speaking unto Agrippa concerning his conversion. And he heard a voice speaking unto him. Not only did he hear a voice, but he seen the Lord Jesus Christ in this brilliant light that shined down upon him. They all fell to the earth, those that were journeying with him. Those that were with him, they heard the voice, but they understood not what was being said. Paul says that he heard a voice speaking unto him in the Hebrew tongue. This vision, this appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to this man Saul was just for him only. What a wonderful blessing this was for this man. Here he was on his way to the city of Damascus, ready to take all those that did serve and worship Jesus and make them prisoners and bring them back to Jerusalem bound, and if possible, had them even killed. And here he stopped, brought down to the ground, and he hears this voice speaking to him. This man Saul, he was trembling, he was astonished, and well may he tremble, well may he be astonished. What a wonder that he wasn't immediately cast away by Jesus himself, where he was persecuting the church of Christ, and where he was doing so much evil towards the saints. What a wonder that Jesus stopped him, not to slay him, not to damn him, no, but he stopped him to save him, to shed his love abroad in his sorrow, to make him an apostle, a preacher. Oh, what a wonder of grace this was to this man. Sovereign grace, my hearers, revealed itself in this wonderful conversion of this man. And when he was laying on the ground, he cried out, "Lord, who art thou?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against pricks." For this man received immediately a revelation of Jesus Christ to his soul. How many of you listening to me wouldn't like to have such a revelation? Or to have Jesus appear to us and to say unto us, "I am Jesus." Oh, how this would clear up so much darkness, so much unbelief, so many doubts and fears that many of God's dear children have within their souls. All to know this precious Jesus. He was given immediately to know him. And Jesus spake unto him and said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He didn't say, "I am Jesus and you're persecuting my disciples. You're doing evil to my church." No. "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You persecute me." This was brought home to him. This he was given to see and to realize, so that he was doing something against God when he did something against the Christians. And that when he persecuted them, he was persecuting God in them. And the Lord said unto him, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Under Israel of old, they used many oxen to plow their ground. And many times these animals, they were stubborn. They wouldn't do what their masters wanted them to do. They would stand still sometimes. And then when they wanted them to go, they would kick back at them. They'd raise up their hind legs and kick back at the master. And he had a rod in his hand, and at the end of this rod, there was a strong piece of iron attached to it with a sharp point. And when the animal didn't want to go, well, he would stick this rod into the animal's leg. And that was very painful for this animal. This, of course, caused the animal sometimes to kick more. But the more that he kicked, the more that the master would stick the rod in. And this was a saying amongst the Israelites, it's hard to kick against the pricks. So the Lord uses this saying when he speaks to Saul. Saul, he had been persecuting the church of Christ. And there was a voice speaking inside by him that he was doing wrong, that he was doing evil. But he, in his zeal for God, he thought, and for the church, he thought he was doing God a favor in doing this. He went over the top of this voice. This kept speaking to him that he was doing wrong. But he couldn't see it. And now the Lord Jesus Christ brings this home to him. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The Lord disclosed unto him what was going on in his very conscience and in his soul. Oh, this man Saul, he had went on over the top of all the voices inside that told him that he shouldn't do that. How often have you and I done this? How often has not sin, which is so strong, which is so powerful, and which is so enticing to our natures, how often has not our voice, the voice of our conscience, spoken and told us that we shouldn't do that? And have not I and you many times went over the top of the voice of our conscience and done it? Oh, how many live with a seared conscience. This is the way it gets if we keep going over the top of our conscience. Gradually, it doesn't speak anymore. It's a mercy to have a tender conscience, a conscience that's alive to sin, a conscience that speaks to us. It's called in scriptures the candle of the Lord. Oh, listen to this voice, my dear hearers. It'll never lead you wrong. Oh, don't go over the top of it. Harden not your hearts against this voice that God has placed it in your conscience. Listen to it and obey it. Ask God to give you the grace so that he might speak unto you and say, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, to kick against those pricks of your conscience and to go over the top of them. This is what this apostle had been doing. And the Lord now reveals unto him where he thought he was doing that which was right and good in his sight, but that he was doing that which was sinful. God gave him to see this very clearly and very plainly. And now we find this man crying out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, he knew what he was going to do if he got into the city of Damascus. But here, my hearers, he was overpowered. Here, he was laid down on the ground. Here, he became willing to do what Jesus wanted him to do. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, anything to be saved, anything to be reconciled with Jesus, anything to know him as his Jesus, as his Savior. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Has the Lord ever overpowered any of you? Has he ever come into your life, stopped you in the mad rush after sin, after the world? Has he ever brought you down and given you to see what your past life has been against him? And have you ever been given to be overpowered like this man was and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He changed masters. He changed kings. The Lord became his king and his master, and he was now willing to serve him. Oh, if God gives you a day of power and makes you willing in that day, you will be just like this Paul. You will say, Lord, what will you have me to do? Are you willing to let everything go? If only you could know that he was your Jesus, your Savior, your Redeemer. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. Go into the city. So this man then, lying on the ground, he was given a promise that when he got into the city, then he would be told what he had to do. And when he arose and opened his eyes, he could not see. He was blind. The Lord had stricken him with blindness. Oh, my hearers, I am sure that this man, he began to fear that he would be blind for the rest of his life. What an awful affliction, my hearers, blindness. This man, Saul, don't mind me if I call him Paul or Saul, he's called Saul at first, finally his name is changed to Paul. This man, he had to go back into the city, but he couldn't go himself. Somebody had to take him by the hand and lead him. Or he had in his mind that he was going to take many people back out of that city by the hand and lead them back to Jerusalem and have them slain. But now he was a prisoner. Now he was held from doing this by the grace and by the love and the mercy of God. And now he was blind. He couldn't see. All this blindness probably brought him an earnest prayer that the Lord would yet open his eyes. See, my hearers, in this, the wonderful power of God, that he, in a moment, struck this man and made him blind. He could strike any one of us with this terrible affliction, and we could be blind for the rest of our life. This, I am sure, this apostle was afraid of. And all my hearers, there are so many that likewise are blind. Every one of us by nature are blind, born in this condition spiritually. There are many that are being blinded by the god of this world, the devil. This is what this Saul was being blinded by. He thought he had been doing God a favor, but he had been serving the devil. He had been doing the devil's bidding. He had been doing the devil's dirty work. And so, my hearers, there are many that are being blinded in this way, that run after the world, that seek the vanities of the world, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and those things which God hates. These things so many millions of people are running after. The devil keeps them busy after these things. They are being blinded by him. Oh, so many are being blinded likewise in a religious manner. They are being led by blind guides. And if they both are blind, the Bible teaches us, they will both fall into the ditch. Oh, how blind are we when God comes to us with his blessed Spirit and discloses unto us what we are. We never saw ourselves in that light. We have also been blind, going on in our own way, thinking our way was right. How awful, my hearers, to go on with a conscience, as I've just been speaking about, and then to be blinded in this respect, and then to fall into hell. Oh, what an awful eternity that will be. For that will be where the worm dieth not, and the fire shall never be quenched. When that voice of conscience will have all access to us, and will speak unto us, and then it will say, then I warned you, then I spoke to you, and you will have to admit, oh, had I but listened, had I but obeyed that voice. But no, I went on in my own way, and now I have to suffer the consequences of my sins to all eternity. Being blinded in this respect by Satan in our conscience and likewise in our life. Oh, what a mercy, I thought, that we as a congregation are not being blinded in a religious way, but we still have the precious truth of Christ amongst us, that it is yet taught in its feebleness, and that it is preached to us by some of God's ministers, and that God at times yet even uses it to open the eyes of the blind. He can close our eyes and he can open them. When he was here upon earth, many people that were blind, they were blessed that Christ gave them their sight back again. And now this man, he was blind, led by the hand back into the city of Damascus. Those that journeyed with him, they had seen the light, they had heard the voice, they had fallen to the ground, they had trembled likewise, but no special voice had come to any one of them. I think they never forgot this journey to Damascus, never.
They remembered what took place on the way, what that wonderful light was, the voice that they heard, how they trembled in fear. And my hearers, there are so many in this life that likewise are given just as these journeyed with Paul. They are given likewise sometimes such light to see what they are and what they have become. Sometimes by the voice of the law, sometimes by the voice of the gospel, they fall down, they tremble, they are afraid, they fear, but they are not seemingly wrought upon. This Paul, he was a distinguished vessel of mercy. The Lord spake to him. He spake not to those that journeyed with him. You may be journeying too to eternity. You may likewise receive some light, some fear, some trembling, some falling down even. But again, go on in the way of sin. So it was with these men. But they took him by the hand, and they led him back to Damascus. When they got into Damascus, they took him to a certain house on a street called, the name of the street was Straight, and the house was a house of a man by the name of Judas. Into this house they brought this man. How different was his entrance into this city than what he had thought. He came to that city by the hand of someone else and was placed in the house, and there he was. This blind persecutor, or this Pharisee so filled with zeal, so filled with enmity and rebellion against God and against his church, here he was. 3 days and 3 nights he was without sight. Neither did he eat, neither did he drink. Hear my hearers, in those 3 days he was in terrible agony, in terrible distress of soul. His sins were brought home to him. All there, this monster that had been so terrible to the Church of Christ was brought down on his knees, and he became a sinner before God. He began to cry to this God in heaven above for mercy. All the sighs, the groans, the tears, the sorrow, the grief, which was revealed in this man in those 3 days, is not spoken of in the Bible. But you may be sure that he was brought to accounts, and that he feared that he would never, never be saved. Although he had a promise that he would be given to know what he had to do, I'm sure he justify God. God would be just and righteous to be damned if such a creature as he had been, such a sinner as he had been. All this man Paul, he lay in this misery, in this agony for 3 days. He neither ate, he neither drank, nor did he sleep, my hearers. He had no rest, this poor man. And my hearers, this man, he, in his prayers and in his supplications, was given a vision. He saw in a vision a man by the name of Ananias coming in unto him and laying his hands upon him that he should receive his sight. Oh, how many of you that are listening to me have ever become sinner before God? How many of you have laid on your knees groaning, crying, praying, sighing for mercy, for pardon? How many of you have been filled with a godly sorrow, with grief that you have lived so as you have done? And how many of you have been given to justify God if he damned you to all eternity? Have you been there, my hearers? Oh, it isn't a very pleasant place to be brought, but it's necessary to be brought there. Or to become sinner before God. This is where Saul was brought to, in this house. This man was on his knees probably the whole time that he was there. Oh, he was blind. Probably he was crying that the Lord would open his eyes. And in the midst of his grief and his sorrow, the Lord came to him, gave him a vision, gave him to believe that his eyes would again be opened. How many of you have been in that grief, in that sorrow, and the Lord has come to you, has given you a word whereupon you were given to hope that he would listen to your prayers, that he would save you, that he would in due time grant you the pardon of your sins? Oh, how many, when they are in this state, have been comforted, been strengthened, and encouraged by God himself. So it was with this Apostle Paul. And while he was in this state and condition, that we find that God came to another man in that city by the name of Ananias. He was a disciple, a God-fearing man, well-respected and well-loved by all those that knew him in Damascus. And the Lord appeared unto him in a vision and speak unto him, Ananias. And he says, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go unto the street called Straight, to the house of one by the name of Judas, and there you will find Saul. Behold, he prayeth. The Lord then gave a vision to Paul and gave a vision to Ananias. The Lord didn't need this man Ananias. He could have went to Paul himself. He could have revealed himself unto Paul and gave unto him that which he sent Ananias with. But the Lord uses the ministry of his word. He uses his servants who he has called. So he came to this man, Ananias. And you may be sure that Ananias, he was full of fear. He was also trembling when he heard that this man was coming to Damascus to take the saints that were there prisoner back to Jerusalem. Thinking in my little mind, I am sure that many that lived in Damascus were praying to God that God would do something to this man. He was destroying his saints. He was killing them. He was making havoc of the church. Wouldn't God do something to this man? There may have been some that were praying and saying, Lord, won't you convert him? Won't you turn him to yourself? I don't know. But I'm sure that they were all in fear and that it brought them to God.
And so this man had now a vision, and he should go to this street, called street, into this house of one Judas, and inquire for one named Saul. For behold, he prayed. You know, the Lord knows the address of every one of his children. He knows where we are. He knows who you are. He knew just where this Saul was, what street he was on, what house he was in. He knows you too, every one of you that are listening to me. And if it be his time to call you by his grace, then he will either bring the means to you, or he'll bring you to the means. In this respect, he brought the means to Saul. Go to this street. Go to this house. You will find there Saul. Behold, he prayeth. Wonderful words, my hearers. For God to say that of us. Has he ever said it of you? Behold, you pray. How many of you pray? What must you say to your prayers?
How many of us must condemn our prayers? They're only just lip service.
They're only just the service of our mind. Don't you think that the Apostle Paul prayed before he got to this house? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You read of them, they stood on the street corners and they prayed for a long, long time. And they meant by their prayers that they were holy men. They went there purposely to be seen by the people. So with this Saul, he prayed many times as a Pharisee, you may be sure. But now God says of him, behold, he prayeth. He never prayed like that before. Never.
Oh, to have God say that of us. Behold, he or she prayeth. Then it must be his blessed Spirit that's indicting true prayer in our hearts. Oh, they were only groans. They were only sighs. Sometimes I guess he didn't know what to say to God. He felt so miserable and so sinful. He didn't know how to express himself. Have you ever been that way, my hearers? Have you ever been on your knees and cried, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. You know, there's more prayer in those two words than there is in the whole form of prayer. Have you ever cried out of the bottom of your heart unto God that he would have mercy on you? Them prayers are music in the ears of God. He says to his saints by the mouth of Solomon in the book of the Song of Solomon, he says, let me hear thy voice. Show me thy countenance, for thy voice is lovely and thy countenance is sweet. Can you believe it? You are groaning, a moaning, a crying, a miserable sinner. And then he says to you, let me hear your voice. Show me your countenance. Show me what you are. This is what he likes to hear, my hearers. You can't believe this when he comes to you with them very words, but it's true. All them are the prayers that the Lord hears and answers. And this man was spoken of by God himself. Behold, he prayeth. And now, of course, Ananias, when he heard this command that he should go to this house, oh, he had to express his fear. He had to express what was going on in him. He said unto the Lord, Lord, I have heard of this man, how that he hath treated thy saints at Jerusalem, and how that he also has authority from the priest to take thy people bound back to Jerusalem. You see, this man Ananias, he didn't want to go. He didn't think that it was right. That if he went there, maybe this man would do something to him. He was afraid. He couldn't trust in what God had commanded him to do. It was kind of unbelief on his part. And now the Lord spoke to him again. He said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And he, I will use to proclaim my name unto the Gentiles and unto the children of Israel. And I will show him
how much that he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, how wonderful is God, my hearers. First, behold, he prayed. Next, he says, he is a chosen vessel of name. He was an elect vessel of mercy. He was one that was predestinated before the world ever was created unto eternal life. He was given to see Jesus, to believe in Jesus. And now God was going to use him for the ministry of the gospel. He was going to send him unto all creatures, both Israelites and Gentiles, to proclaim his name. Oh, this is what he made known to Ananias. It doesn't say that he made this known unto Saul. He told Ananias this. Ananias, when he heard this, he was won in. He was won over. He arose, and he went to this street and to this house in obedience to God, who had told him to go there. He was taken in with what the Lord had said.